Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia. Dapatkan lebih banyak lagi cerita bagus di sbs.com.au/indonesia.
Psikolog memperingatkan bahwa aplikasi pelacak seperti Life 360 dan Find My iPhone dapat menormalisasi pemantauan konstan yang mungkin dimulai dalam keluarga, tapi dapat merembes ke dalam hubungan pasangan intim, berpotensi menyebabkan perilaku mengendalikan. Tapi, bagaimana kita tahu apakah memantau orang yang kita sayangi bermanfaat atau malah bermasalah? Dan jika bermasalah, bagaimana kita mengatasinya? Efisiensi dan kontrol, dua obsesi dalam kehidupan modern. Tidak ada yang lebih jelas daripada kebutuhan kita untuk mengetahui di mana orang-orang terkasih kita berada setiap saatnya. Dari aplikasi pelacak keluarga Life 360 hingga Find My iPhone dan Find My Device, semakin banyak yang kita melacak keberadaan anak-anak kita atau orang tua yang sudah tua, terkadang bahkan pasangan dan teman-teman kita 24 jam sehari. CEO Relationship Australia New South Wales, Elizabeth Shaw, berkata bahwa sah-sah saja untuk membenarkan pelacakan tersebut.
I think part of it is the speed of life. You know, instead of leaving anything to chance, you know, that I'm not sure when the family's coming home tonight, there's this need to know. There's a need to know, and I need to know now. Then we put some nobility around that. We say, well, because life isn't as safe as it used to be, then this is a reflection of how much I love my family.
Dalam banyak hal, sebetulnya Australia lebih aman daripada sebelumnya. Jumlah pelaku kejahatan yang ditangani polisi pada tahun 2023 sampai dengan 2024 berada pada level terendah yang tercatat sejak 2008 hingga 2009. Sementara, kita juga melihat penurunan dalam kasus pembunuhan dan perampokan. Namun, beberapa jenis kejahatan telah meningkat dalam beberapa tahun terakhir, seperti serangan terkait kekerasan dalam rumah tangga dan serangan seksual. Dengan aplikasi ini, lokasi harus disetujui oleh kedua pengguna agar dapat terlihat. Sulit untuk mendapatkan data tentang berapa banyak orang di Australia yang melacak orang lain atau dilacak. Apple mengatakan tidak memiliki akses ke informasi tersebut. Dan Life 360 tidak merespon permintaan informasi dari SBS meskipun tampaknya banyak dari kita yang melakukannya. Christine Milotsnik telah menggunakan pelacakan lokasi selama bertahun-tahun. Merasa tenang mengetahui kapan anak-anaknya pulang dari sekolah saat mereka masih kecil, dan tahun lalu mengetahui bahwa putranya yang berusia 18 tahun aman saat ia berbackpacking di Eropa.
It came like an agreement before he went. So both sides were feeling very much like safe. I called and said, oh, you haven't moved for 24 hours. And then he said, yes, I'm sick. It was also good for him that someone was looking after him.
Selama 6 tahun lamanya, ia juga berhasil memonitor ibunya yang sedang demensia yang kadang tersesat.
Everybody could see where my mom is, so she get lost. We would know where she is. When she went to Brazil, I knew where she was. So having that helped me a lot, you know, because there was one day that she got a little bit confused from going to the church in the morning, coming back, and then I could ask a friend of mine to pick her up.
Di keluarga Milosnik, semua orang setuju dengan pemantauan meskipun Christine mengatakan ia tidak lagi memantau anak-anaknya sekarang karena mereka sudah lebih dewasa.
This kind of a contract, right? In my view, between you and the kids or you and my mother or whoever you're doing that, it's like to understand expectations.
Elizabeth Shaw dari Relationship Australia mengatakan bahwa pelacakan dengan persetujuan semua pihak akan sangatlah bermanfaat.
I have known particularly younger people to invite their friends to track them when they're going on a first date, for example, as part of safety. We sometimes get loved ones to track us in an Uber, you know, for the same reason. So I think there are ways which are very much in the individual's control where they can invite people in and then exclude them at other times. I think in those sorts of ways where there is regular checking in on consent, the clarity of purpose, all of that is actually a great benefit in how we live our lives.
Namun Bridge Harris, Direktur Pusat Pencegahan Kekerasan Gender dan Keluarga Monash, khawatir bahwa normalisasi pengawasan ini akan sangat mengkhawatirkan.
I definitely think that we've had a shifting in norms around privacy, and so that's how much information we share, the devices we share, and also expectations about that. So expectations that we are, for instance, findable by our partners, by our children, by everybody. Surveillance is occurring in all parts of our lives, so at work, at school, at universities, in leisure circles, in a lot of business and commercial things, and also with the government. And so we normalize surveillance too then in our personal lives.
Penelitian yang diterbitkan oleh Komisi E-Safety menyebutkan bahwa hampir 1 dari 5 orang dewasa muda berusia 18 hingga 24 tahun kini menganggap wajar untuk melacak pasangan romantis mereka kapanpun mereka mau. Harris mengatakan bahwa generasi muda jauh lebih menerima pengawasan.
We seem to see a bit of a trend where it's more normal or expected that you do allow your partner, for instance, to access your device, to access your accounts. It's just not the same kind of expectation of privacy as there maybe was in older generations.
Hal ini menimbulkan pernyataan, apakah orang tua sedang membiasakan anak-anak dan remaja untuk penerimaan pemantauan terus-menerus tanpa izin, dan apakah ini boleh? Alisa Carter berpendapat bahwa hal itu tidaklah wajar. Ia selalu menolak untuk memantau keberadaan putrinya yang kini berusia 16 tahun dan mengatakan bahwa putrinya akan terkejut jika mendengar usulan tersebut.
It's definitely spying. I think she would feel absolutely that it was invasion of her privacy and her autonomy. There would definitely be a question of trust from her. Why can't you just believe where I am? The amount of tracking that some parents do with their teenage kids, and these aren't young teenage kids, these are older teenage kids, it's just beyond. It's so detailed. Some parents have like radiuses from the house, so alarms go off. I couldn't even imagine doing that.
Carter mengatakan bahwa ia tidak akan pernah mengizinkan pasangannya untuk melacak dirinya.
I wouldn't like a partner to track me at all. I think it is absolutely for myself, an invasion of my own privacy. I would be absolutely mortified if one of my daughter's partners requested her to do that. That's absolutely crossing boundaries. There is no reason for a partner, as far as I'm concerned, to want to know where you are.
Shaw mengatakan masalahnya bukan pada teknologinya, melainkan cara kita menggunakannya. Dalam hal pelacakan, yang penting adalah niat dan persetujuan bersama. Jika Anda memeriksa di mana anak Anda berada di bus, agar tahu kapan harus menyiapkan makan malam, itu adalah satu hal yang sangat wajar. Namun, jika Anda mengumpulkan bukti untuk penyelidikan dan orang di ujung sana merasa tidak memiliki kendali atas privasi atau pergerakan mereka, hal itu dapat merusak kepercayaan dan menimbulkan rasa dendam.
Generally, how we use the apps reflects the state of the relationship. So if trust is already low, for example, when I've seen couples where there's been infidelity, the tracking has very different meaning than it did prior to finding that out. Where there's never been any issues with trust or any need to control, then no one will comment on this. The family culture will be preserved.
Dalam kasus terburuk, pelacakan dapat memfasilitasi kontrol paksa, terutama mengkhawatirkan di saat tingkat kekerasan dalam rumah tangga di Australia mencapai rekor tertinggi. Harris mengatakan bahwa menormalisasi pelacakan juga dapat menyebabkan situasi di mana panggilan bantuan korban tidak dianggap serius.
if someone's trying to articulate the violence of their experience, they're trying to articulate their lived experience, it might be discounted by someone else. They might say, oh, no, that's really normal. My partner and I do it too. But what is actually happening is very different. We potentially risk not responding to disclosures that people are making in a more productive way.
Elizabeth So menambahkan, melacak seseorang yang dicintai dapat mengubah ekspektasi dalam hubungan.
People are judging the speed at which their partner responds. You didn't respond for an hour, so that means you don't love me. We are conflating sometimes access with love and devotion. And I think we've got to be very careful when we get into that space, because ultimately speed of connection doesn't measure quality of relationship at all.
Lalu, bagaimana jika kedua pihak tidak sepakat tentang cara mereka melacak atau dilacak? Shaw mengatakan hal ini menunjukkan masalah kekuasaan dan kontrol dan memerlukan pembicaraan.
You have to solve the disagreement outside of the app. So one person doesn't just get to keep going. I think it's very important that you discuss the meaning of it. And even if someone dresses up their behavior as good intentions or caring and concern, if the other doesn't experience it that way, then the issue has to be dealt with.
Bridget Harris menambahkan bahwa penting adanya untuk membahas apa yang membuat mereka nyaman dan tidak nyaman.
If we have a bit more of a discussion and reflection of the impacts and what behaviors are making people feel uncomfortable, uneasy, fearful, then we can start to really think about, do we need to change these norms, or do we need to change these practices, or should we reflect on them a bit further, or should we talk about digital consent and privacy further?
Elizabeth Shaw juga mengatakan bahwa selain membahasnya terlebih dahulu, kita juga perlu merenungkan nilai-nilai kita terkait persetujuan, rasa hormat, privacy, dan terutama saat anak-anak kita telah tumbuh menjadi dewasa.
Sometimes the point we realize we've gone too far is when the person on the other end of it says, I don't like this. And that's why when that happens, we need to sit up and take notice. You know, has it actually run away with us on this occasion? And we should pull back. Is what I'm doing truly promoting independence, or is it in fact undermining autonomy?
Bagi yang mengalami kekerasan berbasis teknologi, kunjungi situs web Komisi Keamanan Daring eSafety Commissioner yang menyediakan sumber daya dan panduan. Jika Anda atau seorang yang Anda kenal ingin berbicara tentang kekerasan dalam keluarga atau kekerasan domestik, hubungi 1800 RESPECT di 1800 737 732, atau hubungi Lifeline di 131114. Dalam keadaan darurat, hubungi 000. Disusun oleh Caroline Riches untuk SBS News dan diproduksi oleh Rahel Priscila untuk SBS Audio Program Bahasa Indonesia.
Anda ingin mendengar cerita-cerita seperti ini? Dengarkan di Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, atau dimanapun Anda mendapatkan podcast Anda.